get all situated up here for just a second. Join and welcome everybody out this morning. Appreciate you reading that scripture for us. Daniel, I know it's kind of a long one, so I appreciate you doing that for us this morning. A couple of the songs that Rob led kind of stuck out to me this morning. This last one, the song about hope that we just went through. And then the very first one, the I Need Thee Every Hour. I think this morning as we look at Zacchaeus, and here in just a few minutes, we're also going to take a quick look at Noah. We're going to see that hope was super important to both of these people. And the need for God, super important to both these people. So I hope you'll join me this morning and taking a look at these things, and I hope that we can make some good applications from them. I want to point out what we see here in the beginning of Luke chapter 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. Keep your finger there, but turn real quick to Genesis chapter 6. I want to read a couple of verses out of Genesis chapter 6, and then we're going to go into a little discussion about Zacchaeus and then later Noah. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 13, says, "Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood, and you shall make the ark with rooms, and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." And we'll stop there for just a second here in this section. What do you think about Zacchaeus? You ever put yourself in Zacchaeus' shoes for just a second and think about him for just a minute? Chief of tax collectors. Rich. Does it seem like he had everything going for him that he would have ever wanted for a guy in that kind of time? It seems like he might not have been the most popular person either. Can you imagine? The chief tax collector, probably not the most popular guy that's there. What happens? Jesus comes to his house. People have a problem with that. We'll look at that in just a minute. What about Noah? 500 years old now. I can't imagine being 500 years old like Noah. But put yourself in his shoes for just a second. He starts to build a boat from wood. Can you imagine the people around Noah when he starts to build a boat from wood? And they're like, "Noah, what are you doing? Why would you do this?" Can you imagine how when Noah talked to those people that he might not have been the most popular person that was there until it started raining and he and his family were in the ark and no one else was? You think about that for just a second. But let's look at Zacchaeus. And so again, thank you for that reading that we went through this morning. You think about Zacchaeus. He's not a very big guy. Climbs a tree in order to be able to see Jesus. But he makes an effort. Do you see what he did? He makes an effort. He knew that there was something that he just didn't have. And so he climbs this tree to see Jesus, to see if he can find Jesus and figure out what this was about. Can we all reason together that Zacchaeus probably had no expectation that Jesus would say anything to him? Just that he wanted to see him. He wanted to see him and get close to him. But that's not what happened. And you think about what happened. How did the people react to it when Jesus went to his house? You're going to go to the house of this chief tax collector. this sinner, why would you do that, Jesus? You see what it says at the end? It says, today's salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. And I think this is interesting in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And you think about those people that had this big problem with Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. They had the same problem that Zacchaeus had, right? They were lost just like he was. Yet, they didn't really realize that or believed it. So Zacchaeus makes an effort. It may seem like a small effort, right? Climbing a tree. Some of us, it may take more of an effort to climb a tree. If you have a brand new knee replacement, don't go out and climb a tree because we'll have to come pick you up in Portland. But for some, climbing a tree is simple. I remember Dallas when he was little, he'd be up and down trees all the time. And so it was simple. But what it did for Zacchaeus was it showed that he was willing to do something. He was willing to climb that tree to look for something that he didn't have in the life that he had then. He didn't have everything that he needed. And he knew it. And if he would have thought that he had everything that he needed, nothing would have been further from the truth. So Zacchaeus needed Jesus. And he made an effort just to get a glimpse of him. And that goes into the second one. Zacchaeus knew he needed something that he didn't have. What did Zacchaeus have? Wealth, right? He had a house. He had everything that probably the rest of the world would have looked at and said, Zacchaeus, you have everything that you could possibly need. But he knew there was something missing. Zacchaeus probably had everything physically that he needed. And he had nothing spiritually until he was able to see Jesus. Do you ever think about this? How did Zacchaeus come to this realization that he didn't have everything that he needed? Do we ever come to that realization ourselves that just something is missing? But Zacchaeus came to that realization and did something about it. And people criticized him for it. These people criticized him. And can you think of what this could have done to Zacchaeus? How it could have discouraged him. How he could have said, well, Jesus, just don't come to the house because of everything that's going on with these people. But he knew that he needed Jesus, and it didn't matter what everybody else said about it because he knew that he needed him. We read the text, we also realize the things that were being said to Zacchaeus didn't matter to Jesus either because he knew that Zacchaeus needed him as well, and he went to his house. And the result? Salvation came to his house. What a big deal. You ever think, years later, maybe what Zacchaeus thought about this interaction? If he's still alive years and years after this, how he would have said, wow, can you believe that Jesus came to my house? And can you believe that I needed something and I found it in him? Jesus knew that he was what Zacchaeus needed. Zacchaeus knew that Jesus was what he needed. And I think that's super important for us. We're not going to read the whole story of Noah. We all know the story of Noah. We know the story from what we read about how evil the people in Noah's time were. How God says in Genesis chapter 6 that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. But how he had found Noah and that Noah had found favor in his sight. And so in chapter 7 of Genesis, we'll read a little bit from there. It says, then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. And then he tells him who he should take with him and what he should take with him. Earlier we read how he had told him how to build the ark. But you think about Noah, 500 years old. And Genesis chapter 5 would say God was sorry that he had made man. Can you imagine how evil the people were for God to be sorry that he'd made them. But it says Noah had found favor. You think about how meticulous Noah was in the construction of that ark. We read that earlier in Genesis chapter 6. He tells him, this is how you shall make it. 300 cubits in length, and the breadth is 50 cubits, and its height is 30 cubits, and you make a window, and it has floors, and all these things. And what if Noah wouldn't have been meticulous? What if he would have said, you know, I really don't like that gopher wood. I'm going to build it some other way. I really don't want to build it 30 cubits. Let's go 35. I think that's better. But Noah was meticulous in what he did. And how long did it take him to do it? About 100 years. And so can you imagine the people as he's building this ark for 100 years that just berate him and say, why would you be doing this? Why are you building this thing here? Surely they had questions. And so when you think about the size of this thing, it's roughly about half a football field. That's pretty big. And so when that's being built where you are, there's probably going to be questions about it. But Noah continually built. And eventually he and his family were saved. And so the people around him were evil, as the text says. But even in spite of that, Noah kept his faith. He's called righteous and blameless. And so you think about the people that are around today. Are they evil? Some of them. Are you righteous and blameless like Noah? People today worry about what other people may say about them. Do you think Noah worried about what people said about him when he was building this ark half the size of a football field? Probably not. But Noah, obviously, regardless of what was going on around him, continued to do what God told him. And he did exactly what God told him. He didn't deviate from the plan that God gave him. Do you know how we can be sure that Noah didn't deviate from the plan that God gave him? The ark didn't sink, right? The ark didn't sink. He used the proper wood, the exact measurements, the right amount of floors, the correct animals, the numbers, the people. He did all those things that God wanted from him. And it may not have made sense to him. You ever think about some of the animals that may have been included in that and you think, wow, why that one? God had a purpose. God had a purpose for all those things. And you think about, we may not understand the reasons why God wants the things from us. But God has a purpose. Just like he had with Noah. Noah kept his faith and resolve, and he did so for 100 years. At any point during that time, during those 100 years, Noah could have decided, no, you know what, God, this is not for me. I really don't want to build this ark. You really? I have to go get 2 lions and put them in here? Elephants? Where am I going to get these things, God? And he could have decided in that 100 years that he didn't want to chop wood anymore. That he didn't want to build that ark to those specifications. He could have decided, my wood chopping days are over with. But he didn't. He kept going. And regardless of what was happening, he kept going. And so regardless of what's happening around us, do you keep chopping wood? Are you still going? Are you still working? Even when things are not happening the way we think they should happen, or on our own timeline, are you still working and understanding that God has a different plan? And what happened? Salvation came to Noah's house. Just like Zacchaeus, right? Just like Zacchaeus. Noah and his family were saved. Why? Because he was righteous. He was blameless. And did exactly what God told him to do. I have no doubt if any one of those things had been different, God would have just started all over. Because Noah wouldn't have been found righteous and wouldn't have been found blameless. Yet he was, and he made an effort to do what God wanted. Was Noah a sinner? like Zacchaeus? Yes. Was he perfect? No. But God says he was righteous, and God says he was blameless. Noah had the right heart, and he wanted to serve God with that heart. So let's look at a few things before we close this morning about what's going on around us and some applications we can make. Evil's around us. We have to keep going. We have to keep chopping wood. We have to keep working. We have to keep climbing trees. You ever watch the news? You pay attention to what's happening in the world and what's going on around you? It's every bit as evil right now as it was in Noah's time. But what are we doing? Are we going to be... Can God look at us and say we're righteous and we're blameless? And so surely Noah and Zacchaeus had to remind themselves a time or two to keep going, that the world is evil, that they needed to do something different. And I would venture that there are opportunities in your life and my life where we'll need this advice to keep going. So I hope all of us keep going. God is the only one that we need. You think about Zacchaeus and the things that were said to him. Did it matter? No, because Jesus came to his house. You think about the things that may have been said to Noah. Did that matter to him? No, because God saved him through what he had him do. Just like them, God's the only one that we need for salvation. And people may say things or people may do things to you that are not, they're not great, that may hurt your feelings. But you think about what God has done for us. He has what we need. And he's the only one that has what we need. And that's salvation. People all over the world may look for the things that they need, but if they don't look to God, they'll never find it. Make an effort. Noah built an ark. Zacchaeus climbed a tree. Both of them knew they needed to do something. And when they figured out they needed to do something, they did it. So what is it that you need to do? Do you need to be more involved in encouraging people? Do you need to be more involved in teaching? Do you need to be more boisterous about your faith? Do you need to be a better example to people? What is the one thing that you need to do to make your life better and to serve God better? Figure out what that is and work on it. I'll tell you right now, you're not going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect at it, but you can work on it and make an effort. Work on having faith that actually goes to work. And when you do, people may criticize you. You can't control what they say. You can't control what they do. Zacchaeus faced criticism. Surely Noah faced criticism. Both of these guys kept doing what they needed to do, even though people criticized them. We have to focus on what God wants from us. And not worry, and turn off, I say this a lot of times, turn off the outside noise of what other people have to say. And it's a lot easier to say it here than to do it outside those doors. So just understand that people may criticize you, and it may hurt. And we have to get past it. Because salvation is worth it. Is there anything more important than salvation? Anything at all more important than salvation? Once your life is over, will it be worth it? Will it be okay that people criticized you and they were evil and all those things if you come through the other side? Imagine Zacchaeus. When Jesus told him that salvation had come to his house, can you imagine the utter relief that Zacchaeus probably felt then? Can you imagine the joy that Zacchaeus probably felt understanding that? Can you imagine Noah and his family when they step out of the ark and they're the only ones that are left and God saved them and they know it's because of their righteousness and because Noah had been found blameless? And so, do you think it was worth it to them? I think it would have been worth it to me, and I'm sure it was worth it to them. Will it be worth it to us, whatever we have to go through, when you're with God through all of eternity? And I would say that would be a resounding yes. And I hope that you all would say the same thing when we think about this. So, here's the thing. If you're not a Christian, what are you doing? The world is evil around you. You know God's the only one that has what you need. And you probably know that you need to make an effort. And you understand that people may criticize you. But it is worth it. Can you be like Zacchaeus? Can you be a repentant sinner who says, Jesus, you know, if I've done anything wrong, I'll give back four times what I've taken. Can you be like Noah? Can you follow what God wants from you? Can you do what He wants from you? This morning, I'm going to tell you, you can rid yourself of all the things that may hold you back. You can rid yourself of the worry of this life if you're not a Christian, by getting baptized for the remission of your sins. It's simple. It's really simple. What follows is sometimes not simple. Sometimes it takes a lot of work. But it's worth it. It's worth it. And so if you're not a Christian, there's water right here. I don't know what you're waiting on. I wish you would decide to be a Christian this morning and make that decision, because it's life-changing. And if you are a Christian and you've wandered away and you've done some things that maybe you shouldn't, and you think, well, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do, I'll tell you, God will bring you through the storm just like He brought you through the storm of Noah. You climb the tree and you look for God or Jesus like Zacchaeus did, He's going to come to your house and He's going to say, come on, I'm here. It just takes a little bit of effort on your part. So if you've fallen away, what's stopping you from coming back? If any one of you are subject to either of these calls, I would hope and pray that you would come and make those wishes known as we stand and sing the song that Rob's picked out for us.